98% pure potato.
98%
pure potato. Hello, welcome to the latest episode of 98% Pure Potato. This is John Griffith speaking. A bit of a treat for you this week. I'm very aware that in the first podcast, it's been me either reading from the book or talking to you a little bit about the book. But in this episode, there's the opportunity to introduce you to Tracy Follers, who is my co-author of the book. I don't know what impression people have when you collaborate to put a book together. I'm sure people think that Tracy and I are sort of getting together every couple of weeks for a cup of coffee or something like that. Actually, because the two of us are both separately so busy, we probably meet a couple of times a year. And one of our most recent meetings was a week ago at the Royal Society of Arts. And that was a golden opportunity for me to ask her some questions about the book. And we should tell you a little bit more about how we came to write the book together. Just to say a bit about Tracy and what she's up to at the moment. She's been working for the Future Laboratory, which she's recently left to set up her business, which is called Future Made. The other reason why it seemed like a really good week to feature her is because she's been working with Richard Branson, Virgin Group. There's a project there all to do with getting experts to talk about the future. And they've put out a podcast this week, which features Tracy. So on the page, I'll also feature a link so you can go and listen to that podcast too. What else can I tell you about Tracy? Well, she was the Chief Strategy Officer of Joe Walsh Thompson while I was working on the book with her. She was also the Chair of the Account Planning Group in London. And most recently, she's joined the Advertising Standards Authority Committee, keeping an eye open for dodgy ads. So very busy. And it was a real privilege working with her on the book. So without further ado, let me start the interview that I ran with her last week. So I'm talking to Tracy Follers, fellow author of 98% Pure Potato today, because it's boring just listening to me talking all the time on the podcast. So I thought that would be good to drop Tracy in with some questions just about the book and how we came to write it and what the experience of writing it was like. So, Tracy, question number one for you. Do you remember the first day I came to a meeting with you and you said you were leaving the agency and moving somewhere else and I said, I've got this idea for a book?
I do remember that, John, because I have this weird thing where I remember what I was wearing at any given moment.
What were you wearing?
I was wearing a red top. I remember it with a black top underneath it. Goodness me. Anyway, and I remember we were sitting in that room in VCCP and you came with the mad idea that you could track down 20 previous planners.
What if he was mad? Why did you say yes straight away?
Always up for a mad idea. That's what I thought. I thought, well, that's fantastic. Because it was so unusual and mad, I thought, well, that's not been done before. Mm. I knew it hadn't been done before. So, but then you have me at mad.
Okay.
But I thought, what a great idea. And then immediately I thought, yes, of course this has to be done. Because you can't go on forever just hoping that these people will survive forever and their stories will survive forever. You have to put the effort in to capture those stories and then commit them to paper. So I thought it was a brilliant idea.
What were you doing with the APG at the time?
Yeah, well, that was the other thing, wasn't it? So I was about to move to JWT, which was one of the two agencies we were going to research. And then I was just about to be made chair at APG.
Which is kind of interesting to me in retrospect, because all the way through I was paranoid that someone at the APG was going to say, that's such a good idea, you can't be trusted to do it by yourself, therefore let's appoint a committee to manage it, and then the whole thing would go into the sand. So I'm kind of interested as to why you thought, yeah, let's just get on with it, rather than going, oh, this is a really good one for the APG.
Well, I knew the APG would probably want to be involved. I mean, it's exactly their area of expertise, it's their field, isn't it? But I also know that lots of people, I'm not casting aspersions on the APG, I think they're brilliant and they do tons of work, but lots of people have great ideas, talk about them, but they don't ever do them. So like all these things, you have to just get on and do something.
Yep.
What's it Tony Robbins says, when would now be a good time?
Very good.
I thought, well, we can just get on and do this. And I knew that I'd got a bit of time off in between leaving and starting the new thing, and you'd got a bit of time off, so... obviously, as usual, I completely underestimated how much time that would take and that everyone would be away in the summer, but,
But the irony was, of course, that we got most of the interviews in the can by the end of that year, in the first 6 months. Just took a little bit longer to get the book out, but we'll come on to that.
Do you remember, we piloted it with Paul Feldwick, didn't we?
Yeah.
We had, 2.5 hours? It was supposed to be, thank you, Paul. We certainly got our money's worth.
We got our money's worth. Yeah, but the record was Dave Trott.
True.
Groucho's 4 hours and going strong.
He'll be pleased with that, though,
Dan. It was brilliant. Anyway, so you moved to J. Walter Thompson. You're the chief strategy officer, which makes you rather busy. What was it like thinking about a book about the beginnings of planning while being inside of J. Walter Thompson?
Well, it was funny, really, because everybody, especially those that have been at JWT or J. Walter Thompson, is again now known, are sort of steeped in it. I'm not saying that all the planning models have survived, but they're definitely still there in some guise. Mm. So in a funny sort of way, probably the people in there take it for granted. But then it was very beneficial to have someone like Kate Bruges in the HR and talent department, who literally has got a record of every single piece of paper, document, brief. Well, not brief, but she's got all the books. You know, she lent us... She lent us, what's the book, 40 and 50.
Yeah, but that one, which is really useful.
It was a brilliant book.
So much detail about J. Walter Thompson.
And lots of the old documentation. So a lot of it's been preserved and sits there in those offices, but then a lot of it is still in practice. But then, of course, you want a modern take on it, so you're looking at it from a completely different perspective. And the sorts of questions that clients are coming in with and asking these days, or even whatever, 3 or 4 years ago when we were first doing this, and I was at JWT, completely different to the types of questions that Stephen King and the like were.
Which was important to have your perspective on that, where you could basically turn around and say, that's not a question clients are asking anymore, or that's not important, or actually... this is a question they're not answering, and it would be really helpful if they were. So all
exactly,
those kind of issues.
Yeah.
So what would you describe as the highs? Give me a high and a low for the process of writing the book, which in effect came out 4 years after we started.
What does this note say here, John, on this piece of paper? It says, say that the biggest high was working with John.
Of course
it was.
That's
just embarrassing.
that's the £50 note. That's fine.
But the highs, well, obviously working together with somebody on it, I mean, I'm not saying it was reciprocal, but no, it makes it much easier in a way. Well, there are challenges to writing something when it's more than one of you, but it's brilliant to be able to discuss and think about and bounce ideas and check interpretations of things with someone else. And I just thought it was brilliant. The highs were just these characters that came to life. When you brought Jane Newman into my office in JWT,
that was awesome.
And it was so awful because I was running from one meeting to another, and it was literally like, but it's Jane Newman, it's Mrs. 1984, it's like just goddess of planning. So that must have been a high for you, meeting her. She's awesome.
She was absolutely awesome. Despite all the bits that she maybe cut out of the recording just to protect stuff. I said, you don't need to cut that bit out. But, you know, we honoured that. So, you know, where people ask to cut stuff, we did.
Yeah, given that she doesn't even live in this country or on this continent, you know, to track these people down.
Well, yes, and she was really hard to track down.
And she still is now.
She's Kenya most of the time, and she's in New York maybe 1 month a year or something. So to have her in London, straight in there, that was great. What about Lowe's?
What about Lowe's? It did seem to drag at one point, I don't know if you agree, and that was the editing phase. So I think once you've got your interpretations and you've agreed and you're writing, and obviously there are things, not to get too maudlin, but there were things that were happening in my personal life at the same time, and you know, family stuff, and it's very hard to keep on track with a project like that that's going on for a long time when you've got, you know, things.
Well, you get given immediate editorial deadlines almost, and you're supposed to go through an entire document and all the rest of it, and there's all sorts of other stuff going on in the background.
And I think the editing was the low point for me. I don't think, I look back on it and I think that the editing could have been a lot sharper. Not that it was our role. Well, we did have an editor. but once you're repeating yourself in a book, you've lived with it for so long, you don't necessarily pick it up, do you? And really need an objective force to sort of go through it with a fine-tooth comb.
We haven't written a book before, so
the other thing
is that, you know, there's a sense in which when you write, a book starts off a particular way, and you realise all the missing bits and it kind of balloons, and then you have to edit it and get it down to something with the right kind of concentration. Maybe further books, we'll have learned that lesson, but maybe not. I mean, it did take an awfully long time. I mean, do you have a regret about the fact that by the time it actually came out, you'd finished The Chair of the OPG?
No, not really, because actually I don't know what it is with me, I just take too much on most of the time, so actually it was quite good to stagger certain things. You can't overcommit your time, which I have a tendency to do. You've got to do things properly and give each project or role or programme, whatever, the right amount of focus. I think it came about the right time. I think what it was, if you remember, because we did the crowdfunding, I mean, it was brilliant, you know, we had financial contributions from J. Walter Thompson, APG, who else? We had lots of help from people, but in crowdfunding it, it's going to take that much longer, because you need to give 6 months, 9 months to get around your sort of social network and get people to pledge.
Yeah, and then when you finish the crowdfunding, you think, well, that was internet, or whatever else. Well, obviously the book's going to come out now, and then you discover it's not.
No, you've got another 9 months to wait, and then we'll put the editor on it. Right, okay.
Yes. So those are kind of the learnings of saying, actually, when you go through that kind of process, it does take an awfully long time. So given that we are fortunate enough to be one of that very select group of people who've written a book about account planning, what advice would you give to someone that thinks, I've got a book about planning in me? What would you say?
Start it. Everybody thinks they've got a book in them, don't they? What did Churchill say? It's more a letter of complaint. So everybody thinks they've got a book, whether it's a personal story or a fictional story, or it's something to do with their profession. So my advice is to just start it, and then we'll see if you've got a book in you.
Sure. Okay. Well, that's all from me and Tracy, and let's see if we can get her back to talk to us some more in a future podcast. Thanks a lot.